Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Lord Terry and Lord Onyx. Come on in, grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These Southern Pagan boys are about to start their talk. And now, here's Lord Terry and Lord Onyx.
And good evening, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are under a shady tree. And if you've noticed any of the show promos, show announcements, and they're out there, we're having a little bit of a change here with us. And Under Shady Tree is now going to be with Terry and Robin. And Robin, are you with me?
I'm here, thanks.
All right. So welcome to Thursday Nights with me.
Hi.
I'm excited. We're going to have some fun on Thursday nights. We're going to basically keep the same format. We're going to be taking questions from our listeners, and it's just going to be me and Robin instead of me and Onyx. So it's great to have this chance for us to share this platform. You know, we share a stage when we do our presentations out in the out in the community. So I mean, we had a great time this past weekend. Those of you that were not here with us last week for the live remote, you missed a great time. We had a bunch of interviews. We had attendees. We had some organizers. We had some of the headliners. We spoke with Evo Dominguez, spoke with Utu Witch Doctor, and got a shout out from a bunch of the Dragon Ritual drummers. And we spoke with people from, gosh, what was that? That young man was about 9 years old, was that his?
11.
Mm-hmm. Okay. An attendee from as young as 11 through all of the age groups. It was just a really, really fun episode, and it was a great weekend.
True. We did. We had a great time. I met lots of great people. And I would definitely go back again.
Yeah, well, we've already been invited back to come back down for Samhain. They do two events a year down there at Beltane and at Samhain, and we've already been invited to come back. So yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to it. We're going to try to work that out. We got a little more time to plan this one. Gosh, I mean, what were some of your favorite experiences about the weekend?
Oh boy! Well, I just really loved the where the fire circle is. You know, you're right on the lake. I mean, it's literally a stone's throw from the fire circle. You can see it. It's just a beautiful setting. The stars, you can hear the crocodiles croaking in distance and not so great a distance. But
not even a great distance. There's a fence.
Yeah. But just the setting of the fire circle was pretty phenomenal. And I thought that I really enjoyed teaching. I mean, finally getting back to, it's been a few years since I have taught at a large event like this. And I really enjoyed knowing that you're lecturing and that you're moving people. We had people, you know, in tears in our workshops, that it was actually affecting them, and they were making forward movement in their path and having cathartic, you know, experience and a little kundalini push. And I mean, just felt really good to be doing the work again and connecting with people and knowing that you're affecting one person's life, you know, when you're teaching a class is huge. And they'll always remember
mm-hmm.
that. And I'll always remember it. And I did
that triplet, what do you call a poly triad? Is it a triad?
I wouldn't know. I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, the three people that came back for our second, well, we had a bunch of repeats for our second,
mm-hmm.
for our second workshop. We did the first one on communication in a relationship,
mm-hmm.
and then the second one was the I forgive, mm-hmm. and we had a lot of repeats.
Yeah.
And actually, the I forgive was even bigger.
Mm-hmm.
We had some people that had heard about the first one and came and found us for the second one.
Yep.
So, you know, it was a pretty good experience. And, you know, meeting some of the people, meeting the festival goers, the people we camped with.
Yeah, I was just going to say the pirate camp was a highlight. That they were a lot of fun and very welcoming. I mean, a lot of people, you know, that they camp together at all these events. It's like a little family reunion every 6 months when they get together. And, you know, here we are, these two people that really, you know, the only person we knew was Marcy. And none of these people knew us, but they welcomed us. They jumped right in, you know, made us a part of them and embraced us. And for that, I will always be grateful. They were very, very, very sweet to us. I don't know if she's listening, but if Cookie is out there, boy, you did a great job feeding us and taking good care of us. So, thank you.
Yeah, the camp mommy.
Yeah.
She tended to her children
meticulously
with great care.
Yep, she made sure everybody had food, everybody had a plate, nobody went hungry, everybody had what they needed, tirelessly up at 6, you know, not going to bed until midnight for 4 days in a row, and you know, she was just awesome. And her husband, Jason, as well. You know, he obviously has to support her being able to support us. So, and she didn't do
this.
She wasn't doing this for just like 5 people. She was doing this for like, you know, I don't know, 20, 25 people. So it was not a Herculean task, to say the least. Trying to catch, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and we never went hungry. And even with our schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Because as presenters, we had some weird schedules, so they're sitting down to eat as we're rushing off to a workshop.
A class, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And doing one of our classes, and she always made sure to save us food,
mm-hmm.
or to make sure we got fed early before we ran off.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, she was amazing, and I will never forget her.
Agreed. She was one of the really great people. Also, Stephanie and Puck, I really enjoyed talking to them. We kind of bonded with them.
Stephanie or Jennifer?
Is it Jennifer? I'm sorry, Jennifer. I'm getting my humans confused. Jennifer and Puck, yeah. They were just awesome. Nice to meet people who are obviously destined to be active in their community. They had the drive and the intelligence and the will to do it. And so it was really nice to exchange ideas with some people who are, I don't want to say youngins, because they weren't, you know, they were mature adults, but younger than us. So it's nice to see that next generation willing to step up and come up.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that group of people that's younger than us is larger and larger.
Quiet you. Speak for yourself.
Yes, ma'am. But, you know, it is, you know, it's always fun to go out and exchange energy face-to-face. You know, everybody that's met me knows I'm a hugger. And to get, you know, to get a chance just to meet people and to shake hands and hug people and to be with other people and exchange energy face-to-face and heart-to-heart, it's just such a powerful experience.
Mm-hmm.
And you're around 400 people that all feel and think and you know, to a certain degree like you do.
Yeah.
You know, it makes such a, you know, such a difference.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
In the energy exchange, something you cannot replace, you know, sitting at a computer.
Absolutely.
You know, getting out and sharing energy. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just agreeing with you.
Mm-hmm.
Totally just agreeing with you.
And, of course, it was great to spend time with, you know, some of the people we met, some of the other presenters.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to spend some time hanging out over at the booth with the Grimasi
mm-hmm.
and, you know, Utu and Evo.
Yeah.
Now, Evo Dominguez, he's just so laid back. He just takes everything in stride. You can't even see if he's ruffled.
Evo Dominguez.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's definitely one of the most benevolent, easygoing, approachable people on the planet. I mean, he's just so friendly and sweet. I mean, I've never seen him speak a crossword. And believe me, you know, when you're a presenter at these events, especially when you're somebody like Evo that a lot of people would like to talk to, there are crazy people out there. I mean, really, crazy people. And I've never seen him, you know, just brush someone off because they seemed crazy. So, yeah, I really respect him from that standpoint because it's really hard sometimes to go to these events and be nice to everybody who wants a piece of you. You know, same thing for Elspeth. There have been years when, you know, I'd go to events and there'd be a line down the vendor row to people just wanting to talk to Elspeth. And, you know, she's getting up there a little bit and, you know, it's hot out and you'd think she might after a certain point get to a point where like, enough, I've had it, that's it. Nope, she just very happily would, you know, go along her merry way.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to really think about that.
Yeah, and then, gosh, we kept running into to Utu.
Mm-hmm.
Utu Witch Doctor, wherever we went, it seemed like he was there. He kept coming by the pirate camp, and
mm-hmm.
you know, he did the live remote with us, and saw him up at the fire circle. You know, it was fun.
We saw him after they had rescued the horse.
Yeah, that's right. The horse got loose. It was just a really fun weekend, and it was good to get back to festivals. It's been some years since I've been able to get out to festivals. I just really enjoyed this, and I'm looking forward to our opportunities to go to additional festivals, hopefully be able to do live remotes from those locations as well. And anyway... any other thoughts about the weekend before we launch into the question?
The only other thing I'd want to say is the dedication of the staff at this was just really nice to see. They had a large staff, worked, and they all worked really hard as a festival organizer in the past myself. I know how important the staff is, and I also know how hard they work and how they are giving up their good time in order to be on staff so all these other people who come to the event can have a great time. So, you know, I just always like to thank them for their service and
And also the guardians.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, they were there at all hours of the day and night. And, you know, knowing that they were there to keep it safe and...
Yep.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the guy, you remember we were walking past that tent and we heard somebody throwing up in their tent? And
yes.
You know, so I, of course, being, you know, who I am, I had to go over and like, are you okay? In the tent, and no answer, and they're still throwing up and retching, and... So at that point, it was like just charge into the tent, make sure they weren't lying on their back, throwing up in their sleep. And it was a guy lying there, and he had managed to roll over on his stomach, but he was just puking everywhere uncontrollably inside his tent. And it's like, you know, 1:30, 2:00 in the morning, and we called the guardians, and they came over, and they kept an eye on him, and they watched him, and they made sure he had some water, and he had a couple of hard-boiled eggs, and they cleaned out his tent. And got him clean clothes, and they changed him. I mean, they really went above and beyond. I mean, that's the kind of stuff only a mother would do, you know?
Yeah. Or a guardian, and, apparently.
Yeah, yeah, or a guardian. So I was really impressed with the guardians, and they always do a great job. I used to have the guardians at my events years ago. So they really, mm-hmm. really are amazing humans.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. You know, the staff is amazing. Well, I mean, we're going to disagree about things probably in the next 30 minutes.
I'm sure.
But, you know, just everybody at the staff and everybody was so helpful. You know, if we needed to carry stuff, they would send a golf cart for us
mm-hmm.
and make sure that we got where we were supposed to be and, you know, as presenters, knowing that we had the staff backing us up made life a lot easier.
Oh, yeah.
And,
it always does.
And so, you know, greatly appreciate everything the staff did for us and everything they did to make the event. I never saw any missteps. I mean, As far as I could tell from where we were sitting, it looked pretty flawless. I'm sure there were things we didn't notice.
Oh, sure. There's always stuff that goes on behind the scenes that the staff is instructed. You know, I used to instruct my staff, never let them see you sweat. They're here to have a good time. No matter what's going on behind the scenes, you make sure that they think everything is going smoothly. So.
Yeah, well, they did that. They did that for certain.
And for anybody who's listening who's not 100% sure what event we're talking about, we were at the Florida Pagan Gathering in Florida this past weekend. So that's the one we're talking about.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't mention that at the front, did I?
Nope.
Good catch. Thank you.
You're welcome.
See, you're always there to make sure I'm going the line and walking the straight and narrow.
Yeah, well, there you go.
All right, well, you want to go ahead and introduce our first question?
Yes. Oh, let's see. This person writes in, last Samhain, I attended a ritual at a public event I went to. The event had about 100 people, and most showed up for the circle. However, the group that ran the ritual did so many things so differently from what I'm used to and what is my experience, I had trouble understanding their ritual and definitely had trouble connecting with any energy at their ritual as well. Here are some of the things I noted that they did very differently. Number one, the HP, not the HPS, in other words, the high priest, not the high priestess, cast circle, and he did not walk around the outside of the attendees, Rather, he walked inside them. Number two. Do you want to take these one at a time? There's only two of them, or three of them, maybe. Three of them.
Well, yeah, I mean, we can do them one at a time. Am I hearing correctly that they cast the circle inside?
Yeah, it seems like the HP, not, well, first of all, she's saying that the high priest cast the circle, not the high priestess. And then he did not walk around outside the attendees. Rather, he walked inside them. So it seems like he was walking inside the circle of people standing, you know, in circle. Which would, in essence, for me personally, that would mean they were outside the circle, not inside the circle. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, that's what I heard you say.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I heard you say. Yeah, you want to go ahead and take a pass at this one? We'll just go ahead and take them one by one, and then we'll come. You know, then we'll talk about the overall thing at once.
Okay. So either the high priest or the high priestess, in my experience, or sometimes both of them together, can cast circle. Some groups do it as a mutual thing. You know, you'll have a chant and everybody will, you know, hand-to-hand and heart-to-heart, you know, keep all negativity out or something like that. And everybody, as you're chanting, thanks, and as they're chanting, everybody will grab each other's hand, and that's how you cast the circle in an energy chain around the circle. So there are lots of different ways to cast circle. As to the thing where he's walking inside the people attending the circle, yes, in my experience, that would be leaving them outside of the circle. Now.
Yeah, that's not ritual, that's theater.
Well, yeah, but however, I have also witnessed where the high priest and priestess stand in the center of circle, and they take a sword or a wand, or sometimes even a singing bowl, and with the sword or the wand, they'll just stand where they are in the middle of the circle and rotate together, holding the sword up, and sort of like the implication is that they are shooting the energy out of the end of the circle and creating and casting the circle that way. But there's no finite.
Yeah, I have. Now that you mention that.
Say that again?
No, I was just going to say, now that you mentioned that, I have seen it done that way, where the person stands in the center. Person or people stand in the center.
Yes.
And the intent is to cast it outside the circle of attendees.
Exactly. But with that, then there's no finite demarcation of the, you know, the circumference of the circle, if you will, the exterior line of the circle. Whereas with the high priest walking around on the inside of all the attendees, it does give the impression that they are not included in the circle. I don't know. I think if for me, and not everybody does things the same, but for me, I would want to make sure that my attendees at my ritual felt included in the circle. And it's probably a psychological thing more than anything else, is to be on the outside of them, including them in the circle, making them feel protected and part of the ritual. Because otherwise, as you said, it becomes theater. They're the audience. They're not in the production. They're not on stage with you. They are outside. They are off stage. So that would, for me, be a problem because I like to have people in circle with me. Now, one of the reasons in the past I have heard people talk about this sort of thing and keeping attendees out of rituals, and a lot of ceremonial people will do this, is if there's people that they don't know and they don't know their energy and they don't know their intent, they will not have them in circle with them because they haven't learned how to pass energy over their skin and not take it in, or they don't, or they choose not to do it that way. You hear a lot of.
Why would they do a large group ritual?
Exactly. But I have heard a lot of this, particularly amongst, and I'm not casting aspersions here on anybody's tradition, but particularly amongst people who are of a ceremonial caste and, oddly enough, people who are CUPS members and UU goers. And I'm not quite sure why it's there. I don't know if it's just, I just don't know. Maybe they're not as group-oriented, like large group-oriented, and so they never have to learn how to deal with, you know, unfamiliar energies.
If you're going to, I mean, and again, like you not casting aspersions because, you know, everybody's path is their own.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to do group ritual, I would think that you would want to be inclusive rather than exclusive.
Yes, yeah.
Doing group ritual. Now, what you do at home or with your coven or your temple or whatever, or grove, or, you know, that's what you do there. But if you're hosting the, you know, ritual at an event, yeah, I would think you'd want to be a little more inclusive. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
And the person casting the circle may have intended for the circle to be outside,
mm-hmm.
you know, not knowing,
yeah.
you know, that person, that their intent could have been, and they wanted to have the show in front rather than walking behind people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but again, like you said, that would have been better done from the center.
Mm-hmm.
And then see the outer boundary out where you want it to be, mm-hmm. but leave the impression of inclusion.
Yeah, yeah.
By walking inside, you're just kind of, like you said, psychologically shutting people out.
Yeah, exactly.
And making them observers, the audience.
Yep. Yeah.
So.
You know, for 10 years when I was the High Priestess of the Mid-Atlantic Pagan Alliance, we did full moons on the beach, open full moons on the beach, every month, all year long, you know, freezing winter, hot summer. And I never knew who was going to show up month to month. It was always different people. And I'm really grateful for that experience because it taught me so much on how to be an energy cheerleader, how to control energies, how to quell a negative spot in the circle. You know, somebody brings all their crap from their day. I mean, it was just a great experience. I mean, even down to the night that the cops showed up on the beach at our circle because somebody had called them and told them that the KKK was you know, doing witchcraft on the beach. So which was pretty funny. It was trial by fire, you know, learning as I went. And I just, when I see stuff like this with the you know, the guy walking around on the inside of the circle, I just get the impression not really well thought out, not a lot of experience holding rituals for large people, you know. And
for a large group of people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can't get that experience unless you do it regularly.
Yeah, I used to do open ritual, you know, every Sabbath down in Gulfport, Florida. Mm-hmm. And then we did several open Sabbaths down in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of times they were teaching. You know, they became teaching rituals because you've got people that are, you know, seekers. And they're, you know, they found out there was a ritual going on. They wanted to know more.
Yep.
And so you end up actually teaching a little bit as you do this. And, you know, working with all the different energies, it's definitely something, it's a great experience.
Yeah.
And yelling over the wind on the east coast of Barbados,
mm-hmm.
You know, certainly, certainly makes for, helps you to learn to project.
Yeah, and you know, also doing ritual on the beach, we couldn't have an altar because nothing would stay lit. First of all, so forget lighting a candle. Could never keep sage lit either. Anything you tried to put on the altar, with the wind would blow it off. You know, it was just, there was just no other accoutrements. So all we really have.
Well, we may actually keep tiki torches. We may actually keep tiki torches lit.
Yeah, no, this was the Jersey Shore, you know, at, and it was right at Oh my God, I'm drawing a blank. It was just down the road from the big amusement place there on the Jersey Shore, just off Tom's River, Long Beach Island, just north of Long Beach Island. Oh boy, Roseanne.
I'm sure somebody in the chat room will. Someone will take care of us.
Seaside, yep, Seaside. Thank you, Ro. I could not for the life of me remember. Seaside. So, and that's, you know, where they have a lot of amusements and boardwalk, and we were just, you know, maybe a mile down the beach from the boardwalk, and it was really windy. And so you just couldn't have anything. We used to cleanse by running and sticking our toes in the water and washing our hands in the water, in the ocean, in the salt water. And that was how we cleansed ourselves before we walked into ritual, because it was all we had, because I couldn't keep the sage lit. But it was a good experience.
Cool. Hey, darling, why don't we go ahead and take a break? We're at the bottom of the hour.
Oh, okay.
Let's go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we'll jump into that second how it was different. All right. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to play Pipes of Pan, The Pipes of Pan by Dar the Bard.
Mm-hmm.
I know you like pan and pan energy, so I thought I would play this for you tonight.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And we'll be back here in just a few minutes, so stick around, everybody.
Okay, sounds good.
nectar of love is on her skin. Heat returns as passions rise and Beltane's dance begins once again. All of my life I have seen many offerings to the gods and all the wonder that they hold, but how many people really can hear the pipes of Pan as they sound across our sacred land? Oh, all of my life I have seen many offerings to the gods and all the wonder that they hold, but how many people really can hear the pipes of Pan as they sound across our sacred land?
You are listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, where we believe that all manifestations of the divine are valid. You had a choice, and you chose to spend time with us. Join us nightly at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for a wide variety of programming. If you miss one of our shows, there are plenty of places to catch up. Every show is archived at www.blogtalkradio.com/CERN. Look for the on-demand shows. They are available as a free podcast download on iTunes and now available free on the TuneIn Radio application and website. Follow us on Twitter at SURN_ORG and on Facebook. Each of our shows has a Facebook presence so that you can keep abreast with what is going on. If you have any moans, groans, gripes, bitches, complaints, or compliments, you may send those to the station management by emailing surn.org@gmail.com. On Thursday nights, Onyx and Terry discuss questions that have been sent in by you, the listeners. If you have a question you want them to discuss, please send it to the station's email address. If you'd like credit for the question, please let us know in the email. For more information about our network, please click over to www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org. Your support is greatly appreciated, and we humbly thank you for that.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
To Terry and Onyx on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move you to Virginia.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and this is Under a Shady Tree with Terry and Robin. And Robin, are you back with us?
Hi. Yep, I'm here.
All right. And yeah, we played the existing business cut that has all of the email addresses and all that stuff, and it mentioned specifically about... emailing your questions for Terry and Onyx. And Onyx has taken a hiatus. So
yeah.
Robin has stepped in to fill that space, and we're going to be doing some voice work this weekend, recording a new business cut, re-recording some of the rejoins. We're keeping the music for Under a Shady Tree because the music is just way too cool. But we're going to be re-recording some of the stuff. But so you can still send your questions to surn.org@gmail.com, and it will be me and Robin handling the questions and giving you our thoughts and opinions. So welcome back, everybody. And so Robin, before the break, we were talking about someone, for anybody that's joining us late, someone had attended an event, and the main ritual was somewhat different than they were used to. Mm-hmm. And they had mentioned one way that it was different is that it appeared that the high priest, which apparently from the wording of the comment that she was, I'm presuming it was a she, mm-hmm. That the question asker was surprised that the high priest was casting the circle rather than the high priestess. And we, of course, addressed the idea that we've both seen it done both ways,
right,
and very often done together.
Mm-hmm.
And so that part wasn't so much, but it appeared that the high priest was casting the circle inside
mm-hmm.
the participants, rather, you know, somewhat cutting them off, at least psychologically.
Right.
So we had addressed that, and you had two other comments about ways that it was different.
Right.
So
the other thing it says here is, also, they did not raise any energy in any way during the ritual. No singing, no dancing, no chatting, no drumming, no chanting, no drumming, no clapping, or anything. Most of the people attending the ritual were seated rather than standing, and also did not stand to call the quarters or to during the invocation for the god and goddess.
No, go ahead. There's been more. I apologize.
No, there wasn't any more. I was just saying that's not something that I personally would feel comfortable with, that last part. But go ahead. If you'd like, you can.
Yeah, because something struck me in the comment.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more at the end of it rather than the beginning of it, but that's the end where it was talking about no one seemed to participate in the calling of the quarters or the invocation.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be the fact that they felt outside.
Yeah.
If the circle was cast inside of them and the energy was placed there inside of them, they may well have felt outside of it.
Yeah.
And therefore felt no need to participate in the callings of the quarters or anything else because they weren't part of it anyway.
Right. They didn't feel like they were part of it. Yeah, and again, that goes to that psychological thing where if you don't feel like you're included and a part of it, then it's not your ritual. You're just observing.
Right. You might as well be watching it on TV.
Yeah. And, you know, for me, and you and I have talked at great length about this, and it's, you know, the one constant, consistent tenet of my coven is that this path is an experiential path. In other words, it is my responsibility as high priestess to make sure the people at my rituals have an experience. They take it into themselves. They learn something from participating. They get something out of it. Otherwise, it is just like watching TV. It's all make-believe. It's all pretend. There's nothing tangible about it. There's nothing. There's no experience to validate. Then what was the point of being there?
Yeah.
So,
well, exactly. I mean, every ritual I've ever done, we did something to raise energy. We did something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if we, you know, I mean, I can't imagine a ritual. Now, I mean, the on-air rituals, we don't try to do that because, you know, we usually have material components or something like that. So we do guided meditations, which
right.
work for that particular, you know, that particular venue. But even if it's something as simple as getting, like a Ostara, one of my favorite things was to get, you know, a mixed bag of gemstones
mm-hmm.
or semi-precious stone. Then, you know, I would just put those in like the little plastic Easter eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And we would use it somewhat as a divination, as a blessing, as bringing that energy of that stone that we randomly selected into our lives for the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even something as simple as that gets people engaged.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, you know, I agree with you. I mean, it's experiential. We're supposed to be, you know, experiencing the divine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you and I talk about that all the time. That's one of the things that I think we talked about in our very first conversation 2.5 years ago.
That's right. Yeah.
Yep. You know, that 3-hour phone call that we had,
mm-hmm.
It did. I mean, I'm baffled. I mean, everything you're telling me about this ritual that person attended is,
mm-hmm.
is baffling me.
Yeah, you know, it makes you wonder. It makes you wonder if what were these? You know, what was the situation of the ritual? Were these newbies in their tradition, and they've been given a test? You know, make a ritual for us, or was this a merging of a couple of different traditions, or too many cooks? You know, or too many chiefs, none of Indians. You know, it makes you wonder. Like, what were they doing? What were they thinking? You know, raising energy in ritual is part of the reason you have the ritual. I'm not really sure why they would not have done that. So, you know, that's one of those main components. And when you get that list, you know, if you open up, I don't care whose book it is, you open up Silver Ravenwolf's book, Uncle Buck's Big Blue book, you open up Trish Telesco's book on how to, you know, the 10 easy steps to creating your own ritual. Usually right there, right around number 5 or 6, you know, is raising energy for some purpose.
And raising energy, or, you know, the Corellians call it active power. I've seen other groups
mm-hmm.
call it active power.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something. You're doing something. Mm-hmm. There's a reason for doing this.
Otherwise, there's no reason really to assemble a whole group of people. Otherwise,
right.
Just, otherwise.
And if you've got 100 people,
mm-hmm.
the potential there, that would be so amazing.
Absolutely.
You know, the things that we could do
mm-hmm.
with the energy raised by 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's sounding like the great on lead here.
Yeah, or as was commented in the chat room, and I apologize for busting out laughing. I wasn't laughing at you. I was laughing at something in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
Someone commented, or they were just fluffy bunnies.
Well, you know,
when you were talking about you were talking about the people's experience or whatever experience
mm-hmm.
level or whatever.
Yeah, and you know, and there's something to be said for that. You know, newbies, you know, fluffy bunnies. But again, you know, if you've done any sort of research at all on how to create ritual, then you should at least have an outline of the steps that you need to in order to have ritual. You know, and I'm not saying that they should be completely, you know, horribly detailed either, but, you know, at least a simple list, you know, cast, circle, You know, just, you know, chant, insert chant here, you know. Whatever you're going to do, call quarters. It doesn't have to be a really tough, just an outline so you know what you're going to do step by step. And it sounds like somebody forgot the outline.
Yeah, and another comment in the chat room saying need crash course ASAP.
Well, yeah, maybe we should do that.
Actually, I was going to say, let's do that Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, we could do that. You want to do that? We'll do a teaching on crash course on Ritual 101 and how to what the differences are maybe between having rituals for large groups and, you know, just five, which might be your coven.
Yeah. Okay. Right. I mean, personal ritual, small group, which should be just your family.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, let's face it, you know, doing it for a family, even doing it for two people, mm-hmm. you know, one person doing ritual for themselves,
uh-huh.
two people doing it together has a different energy. And then if you've got, you know, a coven and then large group,
mm-hmm.
You know, how is each something different? How do you, God, if nothing else, logistics gets interesting with large groups.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, we'll talk about that. Let's not get too deep into it.
Okay.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that on Tuesday. We'll look at a whole show. We'll just come in and talk about conducting ritual.
That sounds like
all the way from personal ritual all the way up to, you know, hundreds of people in large groups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's an excellent idea.
Cool. All right, so we're starting to run close to time here. So what was the third way that this was different?
Let's see. It says here they also did the symbolic great rite in circle. However,
well, that's good. I would hate for them to do something different. Go ahead.
However, it looked like the HPS was dipping a teabag in water. I couldn't see the dagger, couldn't see the chalice, and it took all of 3 seconds.
Wow.
And
yeah, I mean, the symbol.
I'm so confused.
Yeah, well, so are we. So are we. No, the symbolic great rite, of course you're not going to do the actual great rite for group ritual, unless it's a different kind of party. But, but that would certainly account for the audience. But
I feel sorry for
you.
sorry, I couldn't help it.
Put on bumps.
Put on
You know, the great rite should be done with a certain solemnity.
Mm-hmm.
It's a serious part of our theology, our shared understanding of the divine, that the union of God and goddess is sacred, and it should be treated as such.
And it also symbolizes the equality necessary for creation. You must have the male and feminine energies in order to create anything. And
saying something about the God is not greater than the goddess, nor is the goddess greater than the God, but they are both equal, something like that. I mean, those are pretty common standard phrases to use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at doing the symbolic great rite, that takes longer than 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And the dipping a tea bag sounds like it was, you know, there's no way to get around it. Inserted and pulled out and inserted and pulled out repeatedly, which, again, my mind went somewhere. But I'm trying to picture the show that's being described to us here.
Yeah,
and,
you know, I wish I had more information about, you know, what the tradition was of this group and how learned the people were. Was this a test for these people? You know, did they have to do this to be elevated to their next degree? I would love to have more information here, but we don't, unfortunately. We just have the question. But, you know, it's interesting to hear the way other people do things and how other people observe.
And to hear the way other that was going to be what I said, and how it was and how it was perceived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Because I'm reasonably sure that the people doing the ritual perceived it differently than the people that were attending and standing on the outside.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny how, and I've seen this, where when you sit down and you're, okay, I'm going to write a ritual, and I'm going to write a ritual for a bunch of people, and oh, it's going to be great, and I'm going to write it, and oh, yeah, this part over here will be really good, and this part over here will be really great, and oh, yeah, you know. But then when you put it all together, it just doesn't work. You have to practice it first. You have to read it. You have to bounce it off lots of people. And you know, you can't just, I don't know, hey, this sounds
and
great.
Say it out
let's
loud.
Go with it. Exactly.
Say it out loud, because when I write, you know, like our belting ritual we did a week or so, a week and a some half ago or something.
Mm-hmm.
When I would write stuff, I would read it out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And hear how it sounded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and adjust the wording so that it flows and sounds good. Because what's written on paper isn't always going to translate. You know, it's not always going to translate into, you know, being spoken,
well,
or being shouted.
You do,
because you also got to remember, sometimes you're going to be shouting over a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
What did you say? I'm sorry, I was talking over you. I apologize.
That's okay. You do know that I never, never allow at in my rituals, people at my events to show up and read their ritual. You better know it, or you better speak it from the heart, because there's nothing worse than watching people read a ritual.
Mm-hmm.
There is no energy inherent in it. It causes nothing but stress and discomfiture for the people involved in the ritual. If you're that worried about making a mistake, if you're that worried about making a mistake, that's going to be on your mind, and you're not going to be able to
bring
your energy. I'm sorry, say that again.
And it will fall flat.
It will fall flat, absolutely.
Well, the rituals I used to do over at Huffington, I did all the group rituals over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would ask them to call a quarter, and they would ask me, well, what am I supposed to say? Like,
yeah.
I don't know, what would you say when you get home?
Yep, exactly.
You do it for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Roseanne's complaining in the chat room that I did that to her once.
Oh, I did it to people at I Haven all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't usually say, did you actually spring it on her, like in the circle?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Now that's wicked. Now, for group ritual, I would usually at least give my quarter callers, an hour or two to collect themselves.
Mm. Oh, I always told them ahead of time, but usually not much ahead of time. You know, 10 minutes ahead of time. Hey, want to call God and Goddess? Roseanne saying 5 minutes. Yeah, 5 minutes. Hey, you want to do this?
Yeah, was this because, for coven, or was this for coven or for large group?
I'm trying to remember. I'm thinking that might have been one of the rituals on the beach.
Mm.
So it was an open ritual, and I think Roseanne showed up with a friend, and I said, okay, great, you guys call God and God. Oh, was it Turkey Swamp Park? Okay, Turkey Swamp Park. That must have been one of our Maybons or something. So, yeah, it was a Maybon ritual, I believe.
Oh, excellent. All right, well, darling, we are at the top of the hour.
Oh, yeah, let me just read the last sentence here in this person's letter, just to make them feel that I completely expressed their thoughts. It says, I'm so confused. I have been invited to another of their rituals for Beltane, and I'm not sure I want to go since I got so little out of the previous ritual. What should I do?
search your heart and listen to the answers that you hear within. The Holy Ones will tell you whether or not to go.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of my suggestions would be, whenever I've had people complain about anything or feel, gee, this could be better, or you could do this in a different, better way, I always offer them solutions. So if I don't like the way they cast circle, I might express that to them, and they may not take my advice, but at least I'll feel like I tried, and they might take my advice, maybe not immediately, but they might think on it. They might hate you too, but I think, you know, this goes to my communications workshop, right? Communicating things to people. If you don't tell them, they'll never know. They'll never learn. They'll never move forward. And the ritual won't ever get any better. Isn't it better to work from within, try to make change and help improve and be a part of the solution rather than saying, oh, I'm not going to go back to that ritual because they stunk. I didn't like the way they did it.
Yeah, that is one of the things we taught this weekend in our workshop. We talked about, you know, you can't ask people to read your mind.
Help
and then if you can get in on the helping, then maybe it will be better.
Yeah, I mean, if you think it should be better, offer to help with the ritual, offer to help with the planning, offer to help with, you know, how it goes, and see what they say. Maybe they'd be really thrilled to have your help. Maybe they won't, but you won't know unless you try.
That's right. Until you ask, the answer is always no.
That's right.
All right. Well, with that said, let's go ahead and start wrapping up. If you have any final thoughts, or I think we've really expressed our final thoughts for the night, and we're going to pick this up again on Tuesday.
Yeah, and I'm actually kind of excited about that. I'm sitting here with stuff running through my head about what we can talk about. I love doing ritual, and it's something that I miss terribly, is doing, you know, big group rituals. And I've been to so many and seen some really great rituals, and I've seen some not-so-great rituals.
Yeah, I miss it as well. I'm looking forward to the work we're going to do with our coven.
Yeah, me too.
Now that I'm a part of Mystic Trad.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The Mystic Trad at Owl Mountain is going to be our coven, which is a direct lineage from the original Mystic Trad coven here, and I'm very excited. It's been a very long time since the Mystic Trad has had a high priest. So I'm really looking forward to working with you in that way. We're so good at communicating in every other way. This is just going to be another one of those things that we're going to do together that's going to be great experiences and fun, I think, for everybody, because we're pretty silly and fun too when we.
Well, we had a good ritual that night when we consecrated the altar.
Absolutely, yeah, we did.
You know, and building on that kind of energy, it's going to be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too, babe.
So
I'm also looking forward to our first big thing. I guess that we're going to be doing. I mean, obviously, it's the solstice ritual here, but then after that, we are going to be doing an elevation to third degree for a friend of ours. People who listen to the radio station a lot will know Niv, and she's in our chat room all the time. We'll be elevating Niv to third degree inside the Mystic Trad at Owl Mountain. She's been a coven sister of mine for a long time. So.
And I'm honored to be a part of that. That's going to be very cool.
Yes, I'm really happy to have you as part of it as well. And the elder of the coven has signed off on it, so I'm very happy about it. So that made my warm heart.
And the mountain as well, welcoming.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's you know, well, I mean, those of you that have seen the Facebook post of the new staff I made,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of those pieces were gifts from the mountain. Each in their own way. Some of them came through others, which was even more powerful because they did come through another person.
Yep.
And someone attached to the mountain was the messenger to give me the antlers.
Mm-hmm.
Another was the messenger to give me the feather.
Mm-hmm.
And the stick itself just found me. So all of it came together with energy from the mountain and a welcome.
Yeah,
and
very true.
giving me the stuff to build a staff.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of indication of my role.
Yeah. It
if that mountain, makes any sense.
Yeah, the mountain endorsed you. So doesn't get any better.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
The woman I love and a place that I love. I mean, it just don't get any better than that.
Yep. Yeah.
That sounds like a good place to sign off.
Yeah. Oh, did I?
Tell people how to get in touch with us, Pat.
Oh, good question. Lisa always does this for me, so I never pay attention. I'm sorry.
Go find us at Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Or you can email us at littlestonebridge@gmail.com.
See, now you're getting in there. the spiritual wellness and physical health Facebook group.
That's right.
You can find me. My public figure page is RevCherryPowerHP.
Mm-hmm.
Or follow me on Twitter at RevCherryPowerHP. And stuff that's on one page is usually that we talk about.
Yep.
Anybody at the station, whether it's a host or staff, questions for me and Robin, you can email us at the station. It is cern.org@gmail.com.
Yep.
Well, I think that pretty well covers it. And we've also got a Spiritual Unity Radio Network Facebook page.
Yep.
So thank you for joining me on Thursday nights now. I'm excited. Sharing our combined knowledge and our thoughts and ideas as we answer these questions is exciting to me.
Thanks.
And,
me too.
And I'm glad that you've agreed to fill in while Chuck takes his hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, Onyx takes his hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
And just going to make for a lot of fun. And gosh, there's so much more I could say, but I better stop now because I'm gushing as it is. So.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to everyone that is listening. Thanks to our friends in the chat room. And your comments and making me laugh. Those of you that are listening, you need to go get an account at Blog Talk Radio. It's free. You just go to www.blogtalkradio.com and get a free account. That way you can log in and participate in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not in the chat room, you're really missing some of the show. Sometimes it's about half the show. Sometimes it's more or less. But you're definitely not getting the full experience if you're not in the chat room. So thanks again to all of our listeners. However you're finding us, we are honored to have you with us. We need to take some time out of your day to sit with us and. That's a great gift that you give us. Thank you very much. So with that, did you have?
I was just gonna thank everybody for coming.
All right, and I guess it's time to wish everyone a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.